You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 for a moment. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word. And our God, we're looking to you. You have allowed us to come this far in history. God, what lies ahead, thou knowest. So we're looking to you, waiting on you, thanking you that before we arrive, you're already there. God, thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In Ecclesiastes, remember, you're looking at, God puts that there, so that we could understand if a human lived on earth and was to do everything and have everything that possibly could be had, almost having all the world, without God, take God out of the picture, and you have everything, anything, as much as you want. What would it be like? And that's what Ecclesiastes is about. It's about a life trying to find something, having everything, and everything that you could have, that could want. Wish. And when you're all done, every time you end up with nothing. And thus, Ecclesiastes, starting off, remember, we just did it the other day. From verse 4. I'll read verse 2 even. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation cometh. People live, people die, and they're replaced with more people. But the earth abideth forever. So the same land that housed your great-great-great-grandfather, the same land holds you. Right down the line, same piece of property. By that I mean planet earth, and one after another replaces, new residents move in. Verse 5, the sun also riseth, and the sun ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about into the north. As it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All the rivers empty into the oceans, and all the oceans empty into the rivers. Big cycle. And verse 8, all things are full of labor. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. The ear filled with hearing. Never satisfied, and just people come, people go, and the earth stays the same. Verse 9, the thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Everything that is, was. And all that is will occur again. It just keeps repeating itself. Doesn't matter who, what, when, where. The God has set it in motion, and it runs on a clock around and around and around. And it doesn't change. And there's no new thing. People see new things, but hang on, there isn't any new thing. Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Is there anything that you can find in history that's new? That's a question. It hath been already of old time, which was before us. And everything that was, everything that you're trying to find new, is always been in some form or fashion. All the wonderful laws of science and all of these things. Think of the Incas and all of that down there doing brain surgery way back before we ever thought about it. Brain surgery, wow, etc. I got to tell you, everything. They didn't have what you have, but they did what they did in a most wonderful way, awesome way, actually, because God gave humans the wonderful ability to be human, to represent him. And without him, they are something else. But with him, they're all that they should be. Now, having said that, over to chapter 3, just for a moment. In chapter 3, again, reminding us, there's no new thing under the sun. It's a new year, but there is no new thing. And chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, spring, summer, winter, fall, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. This is a cycle, the wonderful cycle of seasons and all of that. A time, verse 2, to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. And all of the cycle and all of the activity that humans do is repeated again and again and again, over and over again. Now, having said that, and remember, here we are moving through history. The clock is going, and we have gone and programmed with our calendars, a history. So we have a year, we count the year, and we go from 1 year, B.C. to A.D. in the year of our Lord, and we go. We change the calendar back there, but we have the days, and we change the calendar in different ways. And in the process, it just keeps going. The clock just keeps running, and it doesn't calculate. It doesn't calculate A.D. or B.C. or anything else, whatever. It doesn't do that. It just keeps going. God has set it in motion. And it has a wonderful beginning, Genesis 1:1. And it has a wonderful end, Revelation 21. A beginning and an end. So here's the clock going, and history's being written. And people are there, and they're doing what they do, where they are, doing what they do. And in the process, we continue to be born. And we continue to perish and die. And that's physical birth. You were physically born, physically, all of you, all of us. And you're physically going to die apart from the Lord's coming. That's the program. You can't change it. Don't have the time. God has the time. But you can count on it. Time to be born. And a time to die, like it or not. What difference does it make whether you be a Buddhist, a Hinduist, or whatever you want? Won't make any difference at all. It's the way it is. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, this physical birth, and God wonderfully didn't give us physical birth and allow sin to happen in the world and then to lose everything God had in mind. God did not let that happen, and God would not let that happen. God understood the fall of man, Adam and Eve, and sin, and God had a solution for it in his Son. And Christ died on the cross to make that solution possible. So that everyone that was born physically, no one has been born on planet Earth that God hasn't made provision for to be saved. So every single human being you know, born physically, everyone that's born physically is given the right to be born spiritually. No matter what part of the world you live in, God has given that. When Christ died, he died for all. He made it possible for everyone that was ever born in the middle of the Sahara Desert, wouldn't make any difference, to be saved. That's a wonderful thing, to have physical birth. But if you don't take advantage of physical birth, then you're going to go through the cycle, and you didn't. All is vanity, vexation, chasing the wind. So now, here as we've been looking in Ecclesiastes, and we have a spiritual birth that overrides and outweighs and makes all physical birth wonderful. Physical birth is wonderful because you can have a spiritual birth. And a spiritual birth, by the way, when you're born spiritually, that has a wonderful beginning. But it has no end. It has no end. Physically, you're born and you're going to die. You can count on it apart from the Lord's coming. But when you're born spiritually, you have a beginning the day that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you'll never have an ending. Never have an ending. Never happen. Not going to happen. Now, having said that, over if you would please, just to pick up that, to put it together. And you know in John 3:16 and all of that, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, whoever you are that believes in him, should not perish, never, but on the contrary, have everlasting life. Wow. Now, God, why is that so? Over to Revelation and different places, but for time's sake, over if you would to chapter 21. Revelation and chapter 21. And in chapter 21 of Revelation, picking up the thought, if I may, and reminding ourselves that God, what about you? Well, I want you to know that I have no beginning and I have no end. And so when I was born in Bethlehem of Judea, I was always God as God. My humanity was new. My deity was forever. Now, having no beginning, God, and you have no end. So, our Lord, how would you describe yourself to people about when it comes to this business of timing and time? Well, Revelation chapter 21, picking up if I can, in verse 5. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, write these words, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. Now identify yourself. I am the Alpha, first letter, and the Omega, the last letter. I am the beginning, and I am the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I am the beginning and end. I have no beginning and I have no ending. There isn't any. Don't have any. So God, when we get saved and know you as our Savior, we have a unique relationship to you, and that relationship to you lasts as long as you do. So as long as you do, God, as long as you last, I last. You last. As long as God, you do. It's the saving grace of God. So I begin a life that has no ending to it, no disruption to it, a wonderful change and transition at his appearing or our death. But apart from that, it's a wonderful, can't be changed, can't be touched. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in your Bible, over if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and reminding yourself in chapter 5 God said, I'm going to make everything new. So I just want to lock it in. You know it. I just want to make sure we got it straight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and as you would guess and know, chapter 17. Verse 17. Chapter 5, verse 17. Now remember, he's going to make everything new. Everything is going to be new. A new heavens, a new earth, everything. There's nothing old. We didn't read it, Revelation 21, 1 and 2. Nothing's going to be anywhere, found anywhere in forever that's old. Everything in forever is new. So now, here we are sitting here, going into a new year. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we are reminded, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, brand new, brand new. God does something wonderful, Jew, Gentile, and then you become have a unique personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. All old things have passed away. Remember the word is used of the heavens, all the heavens are brand new, and all the other things that are right now there, billions of galaxies, are old. They're all gone. The flower of the field perishes, fails, passes away. All you got to do is think of the flowers. They're there, and then they're gone. All gone. They were there in the spring, summer. They're all gone. All gone. They pass away. They're old, old, old. Verse 17, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a brand new relationship to God. You have a brand new life that can never end. And you are living, if you're saved, you have a wonderful, wonderful expectancy to go down the corridor of time, whatever time is left, to go down that corridor. And the corridor has no end. It'll terminate a number of earthly things that cannot stay and cannot stand. They have to go. No flesh can inherit the kingdom of God. It has to go. That's all. The rest of it, just keep going. Wonderfully keep going. Wonderfully. And God, so everything that is going to be is already, I am to exercise and enjoy your wonderful person as the calendar changes, as time changes. I'm on planet Earth. It's my turn, our turn, to be on it, and a very critical, momentous season it is. We'll just look at a couple of things perhaps in a minute. But all of the ingredients are there. Always have been there. On our way, as a human would say, to oblivion. To oblivion. Wow. Now, so new. So God, when you look at the believing heart, who do you see? You see yourself in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you died. When a person fails to receive the Lord as their Savior, God died for them, but he looks and doesn't see himself. He doesn't find his son. And therefore they are condemned already because he isn't there. It isn't because they're bad guys or good guys. It's because he isn't there. He died for the sin of the world. And every human being, God looks at Christ and finds them there, as it were. But when he looks at the people, he isn't there. They were to receive him, and they didn't. Wow. So now that's a little bit to help try to understand it. Now, in the process of that, So here's all this changing taking place. And in the process, we're born. We're born physically in time. And we proceed down the corridor of time as we do. And we go, just using the hymn book we can. And remember, it's easy thing. It's easy for me to say, I can tell it to you. Here's 2002. Do you remember 2002? Most of you were alive in 2002. 2003. 2013. 2014. That's this last year. You woke up, most of you, 365 days. And now we're going to turn the page to another year. This is the next year of your life. How many more pages are left? God knows. So you want to use them well. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, you may not like it. But I have to tell you, you better think about it, because this is just what's happening, isn't it? Whether you like it or not, it's going to turn midnight in another year. And it will happen. And the next thing's going to happen. But it doesn't matter what you dream, think, wish, aspire to. It ain't going to make any difference. The clock isn't going to stop. The pages aren't going to stop being turned. Now, what are you doing with them? So, now, having said that, so in our journey through time, keeping that in mind, and we ought to be, and so the devil comes along and tries to occupy us and keep us very busy so that we don't pay attention. We're so busy trying to live on planet Earth. Go with me, please, over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And picking up, if I may, in chapter 6 and all going to verse 30, our Lord describing our journey in time on planet Earth. Chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, it's all gone. The old is all gone. And tomorrow is cast into the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You should believe that God thinks you're more valuable than a piece of grass and flowers and anything else. Therefore, verse 31, take no thought. Don't allow your mind to be caught up in cares or division of thinking, mentally, morally, or otherwise. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Why? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So we aren't sitting there, time moves, and we're caught up in time trying to survive. And that's what the world is, that's what they're doing, and to succeed, that's what they're doing. Verse 33, seek ye first, on the other hand, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Added. You don't have to hunt for them. They're going to be added. And, don't get tied up with what's happening. I'm going to pick it up in a second. Here we are moving, and we get all kind of, what's going to happen tomorrow? We're trying to live today into the present, in the light of the past, into the future. Here we are going, what's going to be? And we're trying to project. And verse 34. Take, therefore, no thought, there's your word again, to divide the mind and heart, to be full of care. Take, therefore, no thought. Stop worrying about tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought. There's enough to worry about, enough to think about tomorrow. Don't do it today. Hang on. But tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. It's enough, sufficient. It is enough unto the day, enough unto the day it is the evil, the trouble, is the evil, the trouble thereof. There's enough tomorrow. Don't be trying to go and take tomorrow on today. Don't do it. Now, having said that, now, if I was the devil, or you were the devil, and you had a system, and the devil is so much smarter, he's been around a long time, and he has a system. In our country, in our world, there's all kinds of things happening that we're totally oblivious to that are moving us down the corridor of time. And in the process, here's the world, its conditions, its positions are all changing. Countries change, culture changes, people change, are changing. All kinds of things shifting, drifting. Countries, especially in our day, with the wars and rumors of wars and all of these things. And so here we are looking. And in the process, and it changes. Now, it changes very fast. Yesterday we lived a long time ago without the telegraph and without the newspapers and without television, etc. And therefore, a lot of things happened, and it took a little time to get to for other people to know what happened. But that it happened. It did happen. It did happen. Attila the Hun was coming, but you didn't know it yet until he got close enough and someone said, "Boy, watch out." And they woke up. But now we know Attila the Hun is coming as soon as he emails his other friend that he's coming. And everyone in the world knows he's on his way because he told everybody, you see. Now, it's very fast. No, that's what I'm trying to get at. Very fast. So now, everything changes very fast. Very fast. A lot. Much. Much. Much, 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 many. And so, here's one's daily movement in the middle of time, and the environment is in a state of rapid, rapid movement. We don't say, it is. People don't think about it. Otherwise, we'd go dizzy trying to figure it out. But it's moving very fast. So here's our ability, and what is the problem? Our ability to cope with reality, what's really happened. Things are happening more and more and more. That's the only way to say it. Everything is more and more and more and more and more. It is. So that everything is happening more and more. It's happening more and more so fast. Everything is so fast. Everything. In fact, in one store back there, there was 2,105 different light bulbs in the same store. Do you remember when the old incandescent lamp or something? Everything. Grocery store had this many goods. Grocery store had this. Now it's this. This. Wow. Wow. We have no... You can go all over the place with this to see it. It's everywhere. Overwhelming. But it's more and more, and we're carried with it. We're used to it. It's normal. We expect it. We expect the more and more and the much. We are surrounded by all of this happening. Abundance, abundance, abundance. Lots and lots and lots and lots of things. And the world, and it comes because it's called, why does it all happen like it is? Because it's called progress, movement. Well, whose movement is it? Who's up to this? God gave all these wonderful things. And remember what we read in Deuteronomy on Sunday, that God said, your danger is, since I multiply everything and I do big things with you, I give you much, your danger is that you will forget me. That's the danger. Now, God, devil, do you know that? I do. So what's the key? One of them, a whole dozen of them. What's one of the keys? To get the public so they never look to God. They don't have time to look to God. Because more and more and more and more is happening. Wonderfully, wonderfully so. As it is. But in the same time it happens, We're surrounded with it. And so here's the world in which we live. More and more and more is happening. And it's so much happening. So much is happening so fast with computers and internet and all of the ways to feed exponentially. The knowledge is what? So did the other day. A week. Every week it goes just like this. The knowledge that took this long takes this long right now. Wow. Now, fast. Do you know that? I don't know that. But you people that punch smartphones and stuff, you look at that, and you can punch all kinds of stuff. You can have it. In fact, you have so much, that you mathematically, it's a physical impossibility for you to really understand what's happening. It's beyond your reach and mine. It's too much. You cannot understand it. Mathematically, it's impossible. It's impossible to have this much information every minute for you to have it. We're content with that. We're content. We expect more and more. We don't use more and more, but we're in a world that's more and more and more and more. And it gets our attention. It has our attention, and we're so busy trying to work the more and more that keeps coming, more and more of that. Think of the countries in other parts of the world that are getting all the stuff, smartphones and everything. They're going to be caught up more and more in that, like we are. So here we are going down the corridor of time with all this great abundance, and the mathematical, physical reality of us handling this is beyond our capacity. And our concept, it's beyond it. And we are unable to handle it. That's just a realistic mathematical fact. You cannot do it. No one can do it. No one on earth. No one. Now, and having said that, just so you, I'm going to give you one silly little illustration, if I can, quickly. Here's your human body that you have. You all have one of them, so it's you're going to identify with it. And here's, I'm going to give you a doctor teaching his medical students, took in the class, said, I want you to understand, students, that you don't understand the body that you're becoming a doctor about. I want you to know you don't understand the body. You're going to become a doctor, but you don't understand it. And I, as a teacher, am going to help you understand that you don't understand. So God, what did he say? Well, that in your body is our atoms, and if you take the number 10 and add 27 zeros to it, that's how many atoms are in your body. Now, don't even try it. Atoms. If you do good with trillions, I'll send you to the government because they need someone that can count trillions. So now, here's the atom, and 90% of all those atoms are changed every year. 10 to the 27th power, and all those atoms are changed every year. Every year they change. Uh-huh. And to boot, 1 trillion of them, 1 trillion of them turn over the atoms, and come and become new, old ones, 1 trillion of them, every hour, are changed. 1 trillion atoms in your body are changed every hour. All new. They're old, all new. And, you're 60,000 miles of blood vessels that you have, and the number, and we make 10 million red blood cells, 10 million red blood cells every second. Do you have that? Can you handle that? I'm going to count. 1, 2. There's 20 million. Can you handle that mentally? I can say it to you. We can look at it, but can we really grab that? No, it's too fast. Our world, exponentially, in every area, is more. How do we keep keep us from trusting God. The world's busy trying to survive more and more to stay with it. Because we got more and more and we expect more and more. It's normal. And we aren't paying attention when it does to us. Now, and the number of non-linear differential equations. Non-linear, that's wonderful. Differential equations. The number of them that your retina in your eye does, the number of them that takes place in your eye to solve, it solves them. And it solves millions of them, every second. There's no computer on earth that can compete with your eye. It differentiates millions. There's no computer on earth like it. None. We haven't even started to think. And you and I would be blown away with the facts that exist that we couldn't handle. And when you put them in front of us, we're stupid. They're there. It isn't that they aren't there. We just can't handle them. It's too much. And so we don't handle them. We just go with them. Do we understand them? Do we understand what's happening? We're being carried along with a new machine. Think of the old washing machine and then a new washing machine and then no washing machine. Think of all the stuff you have. And we're carried along, caught up in it. That's what we do. And now in the process of all of that, God, here we are looking, and all of it is totally, totally out of our reach. And we're content. And we're more content than ever with able to push a button and come up with an answer or a picture or a piece of information by pushing a button. Do you understand what is on that button? A place in the world? Do you understand why the place is there? Where it sits? Do you understand that? No. Do you understand? No. It doesn't matter. We don't need to understand. So now, I didn't mean to take so long, but there's a whole list. And our world is being slaughtered by this. And it's new. And everything is new and newer and newer and newer. And everything that was is put aside. And the new comes in. And it's so fast in the government, economically and otherwise, that the instrument, the piece of equipment you bought here in hardly any time at all is obsolete, and you couldn't get parts for it if you want. They don't make parts for it anymore. Do you remember when they used to make parts? Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and God, here we are moving through time. We have gone and you have taken us and allowed us to go and taken all of our past. And we got a whole year, ready or not, it's gone by. And all those days have gone by. You sang the hymn, Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, God, what am I going to do with all the yesterdays? I don't want baggage. If I have the wrong baggage, it becomes burdensome. And I'm weighed down. I haven't even started the year. A whole new year, a whole new movement that I have to go through. I cannot avoid it. It's going to be another page of my life. And God, I don't want to carry the pages wrongly. I don't want to do that. And so, God, I thank you for the forgiveness of sins, God. I thank you for my future. Now, how am I going to do that? Well, as a believer, I have a wonderful future. Actually, I don't hardly have a future. Why? Because, you see, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is the future. When you received him as your Savior, you have the future. You have, 1 Corinthians 3, etc. You have a unique, personal relationship to the future. 1 Corinthians 3, you own it. You own, W-O-N, the future, your future. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who is your future? What is your future? You, God. You are the future. Whom have I in heaven but you? So God, my past, I don't have to carry it as lousy or bad or good or no matter what. I think of my past with all of its in your past. You do your own thinking. I have nothing to carry, nothing to keep. Everything's gone. I wouldn't claim any of it. I thank God for the blood of Christ that cleanses it. I don't have anything to carry into the future. No. I'm looking at the future. I'm in the presence of my future. My future's in me, in you, if you're saved and know him as your Savior. And therefore, we say Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our future. He's our future. He guarantees. There's nowhere to go. Day one, day two, day 100, day 100,000, day 100,000. That God, where I am, you are. True? There'll not be 1 hour of the year ahead, as much as you have it, that God is not there. He is your future. He knows the future. And we go down the corridor of time with that wonderful assurance. It isn't anything about us, nothing about our intellect or our anything, family, background, good or bad. No, it's about you, God. It's about you. You are the future. You are wonderfully the future which we have. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And God, what did you do? I took you to the cross. And when my son rose from the grave, and you received him as your Savior, I counted his death your death. And I counted his life your life. And when you received him as your Savior, he became to you all that you are not, all that you could never be, all the wonderment and assurance of inch by inch as you go down the corridor of time, a wonderful future. God, you are the future. Am I worried or thinking about the future? No. No, you get saved not to go to the future. You come to know the Lord as your Savior in order to enjoy an immediate relationship to God here and now. Not there and then. It's here and now. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and we're going to have to trust you as we go down the corridor of time, and we're going to look to you to deal with us according to your grace, according to your mercy, and we're going to look to it. And God, you're going to have to go and do a wonderful thing for us. And in the process of doing that, God, we're going to have to trust you with all our heart. That's what we're going to have to do. And if we don't do that, God, we are in trouble. And God, therefore, in closing, or if you would, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews and chapter 13. And I just mumbled, but I hope you just got a little bit to understand that when you go down the corridor of time, which you're going, like turning the pages, you're going down there, and boy, I have no idea what's on the other side of that page. Neither do you. You think you do, but you don't. And if I dare to go two pages, you surely don't know. You surely don't know. God knows. So what do we do? God, I thank you for being an ever-present help. Ever-present help. Thank you. Now, in closing, Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews 13, picking up, please, in verse 5, let your conversation, your manner of life, daily, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, morning, noon, and night, let your conversation be without covetousness. You don't have to worry. Remember, we read it in Matthew chapter 6, that there are Gentiles and everyone's trying to survive and succeed. You don't have to do that. God said, you got enough problems today to work with. Trust me. Don't add any more problems. Don't do that. Don't do that. And let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, but we get discontent. That's the trouble. Why do we get discontent? Because there's more and more and more and more and more. And the whole world's telling us to be discontent. When was the last time you saw 10 or heard 10 commercials, and all of them said, you should be so glad with the food you have, with your rent, with your health, you should be so glad. Remember them? You'll never hear that. No, whatever, you just got a new coat. You need another one. You need another thing. You got a jacket with a design on it. And the design changed. Why? Because you bought them. That's the whole system, isn't it? Progress. Progress means what? Distribution. Distribution means you got to make a whole lot of things. You make a whole lot of things, then you have to start again and make a new product. And make a whole lot of things till you don't make any money, and then you make new things. And you keep doing it. Distribution. Wow. And we're going down the corridor, so we aren't going to be content. You aren't meant to be content. You're meant to be discontent. And that's the trouble. Now, so therefore, and be content with such things as you have, verse 5, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Uh-huh. So that we can then say boldly, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So, God, here we are, and what are we going to do? What do we know? Not much. We aren't counting on it either. But we understand this world in which we live has got a whole lot of stuff happening that you aren't even conscious of that influences and affects and affects and infects your mind. So that what? We don't have to think about God. We don't have to think about truth. We don't have to think about reality. We just move and hope somehow that the next product will be better than the first one. And when you bought an app, is an Apple a computer or something? Is that one? Apple? Well, you need a banana. You see? You need a banana now. You need another one. Because the apple's no good anymore. You need banana. And there's no end to it. No end. No end. Wow. Wow. So, we'll look to the Lord. Our God and Father, we thank you for being able to look to you with our heart. And God, thank you for everything. What do we know? Nothing. And God, the awesomeness of everything is so overwhelming. So technically and mathematically and realistically beyond our ability to tackle it. No more than we can tackle the billions of galaxies in the sky. You put it there. You did all that so that we would realize, God, how little we are. And how great you are. So that we pay attention. And our world wants us to be caught up in a movement we're in. We are trying to keep up and catch up with that which is so fast, and it leaves us in the dust, but we're told we can never quit running after it. And we do, and we have no time for you. God, thank you very, very much. Not looking to anything except you, and seeking to use our good God-given common sense in handling work, home, school, hard things, easy things. God, enable us for such things. And God, we're going to thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name. And perhaps we could sing a stanza of 130 as you come to take the Lord's